This is a podcast about the hardcore community.
Made by and for those who live authentic lives and embrace hard truths.
We archive the stories of the bands and people who make this lifestyle possible. I'm Josh Lyon.
And I'm Greg Benoit.
And this is the Hardcore Archive Podcast. All right, welcome to another episode of the Hardcore Archive Podcast. I'm Josh Lyons. It's just me tonight. Greg's resting up and getting ready for this weekend. We got a bunch of bands playing in Rochester. I'll be talking about that in a second. Give us a follow on Instagram if you don't already. Hardcore Archive Podcast and Enterprise Hardcore. Other social medias too in the link trees. I'm just kind of learning on TikTok and shit like that. So you'll be seeing more videos from me next year. But yeah, also give us a follow and a rating on whatever platform you're listening to us on, Spotify, Apple, whatever it is. But yeah, like I said, December 10th, this Sunday in Rochester, Rust, hopefully, Pure Bliss, Hard Target, Princess, Pure Heel, Juggernaut, Face First, Only Shallow, World Purge at California Brewhouse in Rochester, 3 p.m., $20. Hit me up if you need any other info. It's going to be a fun time. So tonight is episode 147, I believe, if my numbers are correct, of the Hardcore Archive Podcast. And we're actually going to be talking to Rob from Rust tonight. I believe Rob plays in a couple other bands and has some other activities he's up to up there in Canada as well. So we'll try to get to that tonight, too. But how you doing tonight, Rob?
Thanks, my brother. Thanks for having me. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. Like we were saying before we started, I'm glad we were finally able to connect. I've been a little under the weather this week, and I appreciate you being patient with us finally getting together on the third time's a charm.
No problem, my guy. Thank you. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully, it'll be 100% by the weekend. I'm probably going to mask it up anyways. Just an extra reason to look a little sketchier, you know? So, but yeah, let's try to jump into this. Let's see here. We're going to talk about Rust, obviously, any other bands you play in. But before that, so you're from like Southern Ontario, like Hamilton area, or you're originally from there?
So I'm originally from Alberta. My family, my brothers, my mom and I moved out here back in 2000. So I've been in the Mississauga GTA area since 2002. I've been here.
Okay. And I guess I know there's a scene, obviously there's always been a pretty good scene in Toronto and Hamilton. Like what, like how were you able to come across like hardcore? Was it in either one of those regions? Or
I came across hardcore back in the 90s, growing up out west. I found Hatebreed was my first band.
And that was, yeah,
found Hatebreed in 97, and that was it.
Wait, so I'm confused then, I guess. Where did you grow up originally before you lived in Canada? Or before you lived where you live in Canada now?
Oh, no, I grew up out west. I discovered Hatebreed just through various music channels and whatnot. There was Canada used to have like a metal show, if you would, like a half hour special every week where they would just showcase like music videos. And Before Dishonor was on that, and that's how I heard Hatebreed.
So you were in like Western Canada, like Manitoba, like Manitoba, like some shit like that, or even further?
Further than Manitoba, like the province over from Manitoba and Alberta.
Okay. So, and then were you going to like hardcore shows out there before you went to Ontario eventually then?
No. So Alberta never really, I mean, at that time, especially as a teenager, they didn't have a whole lot going on in terms of like a hardcore scene. I just knew that I loved that music and I just wanted more of that music. So I didn't really start going to shows until when we moved to Ottawa. There would be like the odd punk rock show that I would go to when I was younger in high school. And then when I moved to Mississauga, that's when like the Mississauga scene was kind of where I cut my teeth.
That's late 90s Mississauga, you're saying, or more like early 2000s by then?
Early 2000s Mississauga is where I kind of started cutting my teeth.
Okay, so that's weird because that's I would have been around the same time. I mean, I'm from Rochester, obviously, but I was booking shows here and stuff, so I'm familiar with, you know, the region and stuff. And were there like local bands around there at the time then? Or
oh, there's tons of local bands here at the time. Yeah, there was a lot of them. That's when bands like Alexis on Fire were just starting up, Protest the Hero was just starting, bands like that. And then there was Holly Springs Disaster bands, like there was quite a few bands.
Yeah. I feel like we booked Alexis on Fire in Rochester a couple times before they really blew up, and I never really realized they were going to become like that. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
I still have their 2-song promo somewhere, and it's just funny to think what that was compared to what it is. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. So, at what point, like, I guess you were already kind of like interested in hardcore for a while in the scene and whatnot. Like, had you already like wanted to like play music and stuff? And were you already playing instruments by then too? Or
yeah, I started playing instruments really young. I started playing instruments when I was, I might have been 7 when I got my first drum kit. So I started on drums, and like, I've always been like, metal's all like, heavy music's always been in my house growing up and stuff. Like, my dad was an 80s metalhead, and you know, there was always heavy music going on. So like, I know like a lot of people find hardcore like through punk, or, you know, like usually it's kind of that channel where they find punk first and they find that. I was already listening to like Pantera and Sepultura and Slayer and Megadeth and Metallica and a variety like metal bands basically. And so my transition into hardcore was more like the metallic way, I guess. And, so by the time like I'd already found hardcore, I was already playing drums. I'd started playing guitar roughly when I was 12-ish is when I started playing guitar. And I mean, it was Metallica songs. Like, the progression into hardcore was just, it was pretty seamless when I actually started playing music.
I think Hatebreed's a pretty good like band to realize you're going to like hardcore then, obviously. Cause like, I mean, I came more from like punk and stuff. So like Minor Threat and shit like that was more of an introduction to me, but like, I love those first couple Hatebreed records. And I've talked on here a lot. Like, you can always tell like when people came in through punk or metal, like by the bands they got into, and you just described it right there pretty good. But as I said, I think Hatebreed kind of caters to punk people a little bit in the beginning there too. You know what I mean?
So. I actually found punk through hardcore. It was a little bit of a reverse effect. Like, through hardcore is when I found like bands like H2O, then I found bands like Pennywise, and then so on and so forth. Cause I got kind of, you know, I just wanted to absorb as much music. And then skateboarding, when I was a teenager, skateboarding got me introduced a little bit more into punk culture, but I was already bringing the hardcore stuff with me. So then all my friends were like, yo, what are you listening to? And I was like, wait, what's that? It was an interesting time.
Yeah, that's kind of like how it was here too, because a lot of us came up in like the punk scene, because there was like a lot of kids. It's like, it was like 2 different suburbs in Rochester, and like, it seems like one of the suburbs was more into like punk and the other one was more into hardcore. And I was always kind of friends with both, but then as I got older, I got more into hardcore. And like, I think sometimes the punk people and the hardcore people, it's different now, but back then it seemed like the scenes would kind of separate a little bit more, you know?
It was not, I mean, same thing with the metal kids, right? It was like the metal kids didn't like the hardcore kids didn't like the metal kids, the punk kids were just kind of like, hey, we're here to party. And then everybody, it was the golden days, as they call it, where we're kind of strange.
Yeah, it seems a little more well put together now, like the band, the tours and like the shows. It seems like it's a better mix of people, and people are more open-minded with different styles. I mean, the hardcore, you can't even really define what hardcore is anymore, because there's so many different like sounds for it now, you know what I mean? Like,
hardcore band now, in a way, it's very strange. Yeah, it's a little difficult being older and not trying to like gatekeep a little bit, being like, that's, you're not a hard, you know, that's not hardcore. But then same time, man, like, do you, if it's working for you, then by all means.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. It's like, and it's like, there's just so many bands. So it's like, if you don't like what a couple of them are doing, you can just like move on and find a couple other ones. You know, it's crazy. The rapid fire releases have been this year, you know. So but I guess before we get to Rust, because obviously mainly we're gonna be talking about Rust in the interview, like, were you in like other noteworthy bands like before that? Like, it sounds like you've been playing in bands for quite a while, right?
I've been playing music for a long time. In terms of bands, nothing really that ever really got off the ground up until, well, basically Rust, and then the bands that I've been in, like the bands that I have now since then, have been kind of involved in the same scene as well.
Yeah, what are the other bands you're in? I know you said you're starting a new one now too.
Yeah, I play guitar in a band called Die Alone. They're more of like a New York hardcore-ish kind of influence band. which is like right up my alley. So I play guitar in that band. I have Rust, and then I just started a new project with Chris Logan from Chokehold, and Sandy, formerly of Chokehold, Borrow Time, Later Us. He now plays in a band called Northern His Squad. We've just started a new project, so we're hoping to get that off the ground next year as well.
That's pretty cool. Casually throwing that out there, huh?
I guess, you know?
Yeah. No, that'll be interesting to check out. And then with Die Alone, is that a pretty active band too then? Because New York Hardcore is some shit I'm pretty into with myself, obviously.
Yeah, they're not... Die Alone, like, we're not as active as, like, you know, like Rust or some of the other bands in the scene, but still a very active band. We just finished recording a new EP that's coming out in, I think we're aiming for January for that one to come out. So we just finished wrapping that up. Now it's off for mixing and the whole thing. So we're hoping that we can get that out in January. And then, it'll be more shows next year with that band as well.
Awesome. And it seems like both, like you're, especially Russ, it seems like you guys play out around Canada quite a bit, right?
No, we've actually only been between here and Quebec.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we haven't actually ventured into the States yet.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second, obviously. All right, yeah. So yeah, I guess it's, like I said, we're mainly here to talk about Rust. So I mean, when did Rust form? Like about 5 years ago now ish?
Yeah, it's been 5 years, pretty much.
Yeah, and how did that all come together, I guess? And like what made you guys want to start the band and like influences when you guys started, I guess?
So Rust was basically born out of another band that was in the Southern Ontario scene that my brother had joined. And then they wanted to go in like a little bit of a different direction. So when he started writing the music for that, naturally, you know, members kind of weren't feeling it or whatever. So we just kind of slowly started transitioning. And then he called me. I said yes. So I jumped in there. And Rust basically came out of that. So we got an EP out relatively quick. And then various lineup changes, and then we ended up, so him and I have been the two constant members of the band since it started. And it basically was born out of another band that was happening.
And I guess like a lot of bands, you guys had kind of just gotten started and getting ready to start doing stuff for what, like a year, maybe year and a half before everything shut down then, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like when we started it was like, I guess, the lull of the scene. I mean, there was quite a few bands. There weren't really as many active hardcore bands. And like, we were playing pretty much anything and everything that we could play. So like, we had played a good amount of shows before COVID happened. But I mean, the scene was not what it is now. It was, you know, it was the days of playing to the bands. And even then, most of the time the bands were outside, kind of like it was our first year. We grinded really hard for the first year, but it was basically like that. Like it was the shows weren't exactly, you know, what they are now, but we definitely, you know, we got out there early enough, I think, where like we were able to stay busy over the pandemic when we could do certain things. Like we were still releasing music even throughout the pandemic because we were remotely, you know, recording tracks and still trying to be as active as we could. And then anytime like the gates up here would open up where we could go and do something, we would go and do it. So we tried to stay as active as possible.
And then it was an EP you guys released last summer, right? 2022?
Yeah. Is it a year old? I think, yeah. Yeah, I think World Upside Down is a year old now. Or, well, it's over a year now. But yeah.
Is there like a physical? Would you guys do a physicals with that too, or just digital?
No, we did physicals. So we did a round of CDs. We did a round of vinyls. The only thing I don't think we did physically was tapes. I don't think we ever did tapes. Should probably do that.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's all about the tapes these days. Every time I look, it's like different colors and
yeah, like we did tape. Yeah, because we did a promo in 21. We only did tapes for that, and then World Upside Down. Yeah, World Upside Down was only CDs and vinyls that we did.
That's cool. And then have you guys played a bunch of shows since then? Or it sounds like you said you only played here and there, right? You there in Quebec?
No, we've been coming out of the pandemic. We've been pretty consistent. Like the last half of this year has been pretty slow because we were making the new record and we were doing like some other things here and there. So like we would dip out for a bit and like do some stuff in Quebec, do some stuff around here. But it was like the first half of coming back out of the pandemic, we were really busy. We played all kinds of shows.
Yeah. Didn't Pure Bliss come up there and play some shows with you guys last year?
Pure Bliss came up. We were supposed to play one of the shows with them and then it didn't happen.
Yeah. Shout out to Pure Bliss. Those guys are cool.
Pure Bliss are fantastic. I love Pure Bliss.
Yeah. So then you got the new single, Face Down, and that's kind of, there's going to be an EP. You guys got any time frame plan for that to come out next year yet? Or
we just got the masters back, so the EP itself, I get to say it on the podcast because I asked the guys, the EP is called True Decline and it's going to be out early next year. We're not 100% sure when yet. We just got the masters back, so now it's planning the we have the artwork already, so now it's just kind of planning the launch of the physicals and pre-orders and whatever we're going to do for it. We're going to try and go a little bit bigger this time than we did with World Upside Down. So we're aiming for like a February, March timeline.
Are you working with the same people as you did on that too? Or are you guys just self-releasing it?
Yeah, so I think we're going to self-release this one. There's been some talks about some other stuff behind the scenes, but as of right now, like the goal is probably to self-release it. I don't know. It's pretty, we're stoked on it.
Yeah. So. I like the new song. I mean, it's got a good breakdown at the end there, so can't complain about that, obviously. So I'm guessing that these other songs probably have a bunch of good ones too. So.
Yeah, there's a couple. I'm a sucker for a good breakdown. So when it comes to us writing stuff, like especially this new batch of songs, it was the last EP was really, you know, I think it was a pretty healthy mix of what we all like cohesively. I think this time around is we focused a little bit more on the hardcore influences that we have. And try to draw from that a little bit more. And I hope it shows. I think it shows. There's definitely like, there's some nods to Terror in there. There's some nods to Hatebreed in there. There's like some nods to Neverending Game, stuff like that. But then there's still like some, a little bit more metallic edges too, as well, just to keep with everybody's kind of cohesive influences. And I think it's a good mix.
Nice. Any tentative plans to release another single or anything or nothing yet?
Yeah, we're going to drop another song when we launch like the pre-orders and when we like do the official album announcement. We're going to drop something with that as well.
Nice. Awesome. All right, cool. So hopefully got some shows this weekend with Pure Bliss and Juggernaut and Rust. I know I got my show in Rochester, which I said in the beginning. Where are the other two? Cincinnati and somewhere else?
Cincinnati and Cleveland, I believe.
Cleveland.
Okay. Unfortunately, I get to sit these ones out. So it's going to be, I'm hoping the boys have a grand old time. But yeah, I had some health stuff come up, so I wasn't able to make this US run work. So we do have a fill-in that's going to go across with the guys. And yeah, I'm pretty stoked for the US debut. We haven't played the States yet. So this will be the first time.
Awesome. Glad to be a part of it and to have had a hand in suggesting we do it this weekend. Hopefully it all goes according to plan.
Hopefully the porter lets us go across or lets us cross.
Any other things you want to mention about Rust before I have a few other things I want to ask you about before we start wrapping up?
No, that's pretty much it. New record, new EP coming out early next year. Bunch of shows that are going to be planned around that as well. So, I mean, next year we plan on going a little harder.
Awesome. And yeah, that's the, and then, so you book shows, you were telling me before we started recording up there in Ontario or?
Yeah. I run a promotion company with my partner, Jordan. He plays in, the local bands Gavel and Deadly Game up here. Him and I over the pandemic, kind of had this idea to start booking shows in Hamilton. Because up here for the longest time, it was like Toronto always had a scene. But then like the corresponding cities were kind of, there wasn't really things happening for booking shows. So we thought it'd be a great idea to start booking shows in Hamilton. So we started Steel City Hardcore. And coming out of the pandemic, we booked our first show October last year was our first show. And we've been booking pretty solid since. And it's been pretty awesome. It's been pretty dope. We've had a lot of really cool bands. Like we had Buried Alive, Chokehold come through. Bands from the States like D-Blocks come up here, Enemy of God. Days Lost came up. We've also had bands from a lot of Buffalo bands. Exhibition's been up here. We brought Dishonored up here, Jewel Tone. Yeah, we've had a variety of bands come up from the States. It's been pretty solid.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I had wanted to start getting back into the booking thing, but I kept waiting because, you know, with COVID, not wanting to get people sick and stuff. And I feel like I waited a little bit too long, but now I'm back into it now. And we were in a very similar situation in Rochester where like we're in between Syracuse and Buffalo. So I feel like sometimes we're like the forgotten city of the three, you know what I mean? And like when I was booking shows in the early 2000s, there was a lot of stuff going on here. And then like some people sporadically here and there would have it going on. And my friend Jared, who plays in Only Shallow, books some shows here and there. But like my thing is, and I feel like you're probably in the same position, like sometimes people aren't bringing the bands to town that you want to see, you know what I mean? So it's like, that's kind of where you got to step in and start doing more of your own thing and bring the bands in that you want to see, you know?
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was that definitely played a factor when we started booking shows. It was like, we want to book shows that, A, we want to see, but we also want to be able to book shows that showcases the local talent that we have in Ontario, period. Because, I mean, Toronto has shows all the time, but you can only book so many, you know what I mean? You can only show off so many bands at a time. Whereas our approach to Hamilton was, well, we're going to book, like, we'll bring two bands up from the States, and then we're going to put three local bands on it. And we're going to try and change it up as much as possible so everybody gets to see kind of what our scene looks like up here.
Have you guys had like a lot of new bands forming because of all this too, you think? Or
a lot of bands. There's quite a few bands. Like in Hamilton alone, I mean, yeah, there's been a lot of bands that have formed. There's a band up in Sudbury, Ontario. Who would have thought Sudbury, Ontario had a hardcore scene? But there's a band called Rockpile that came out of there. Hamilton, Fight on Sight's come out of there. Built on Blood's come out of there. There's been, a very healthy amount of bands that have been popping up all over the place now because of it.
That's awesome. It seems like every city's kind of got their own thing going on with like a lot of new bands and stuff. And it was definitely one thing I was worried about here was like the all ages thing. Cause like we didn't have, and technically we still don't really have an all ages venue. Like the one I'm booking at on Sunday is like 18 plus and then under 18 with a Guardian type thing or whatever, or, you know, maybe, you know, but, so my thing coming out of COVID though, was like, I'm in my 40s. Like, are we going to have an all ages scene here? Like, are there younger kids going to shows? And like, I booked a couple younger bands and I think one or two of them's playing this weekend even too. I booked some younger bands recently though. And I was like, all right, there's some younger kids. Like, there's some new blood around here. So it's good to know. Cause sometimes like when Buried Alive played here, not last weekend, cause I was sick for that. So I didn't see them then, but when they played here in February, there's a few younger people there that I hadn't seen before, but it was mostly like older heads. You know what I mean? Like, and every time I talk to people about booking shows here, they're like, well, there's a lot of older people here and they want it to be at a bar so they can drink. And I'm like, there's bars like within walking distance of these places. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it shouldn't be an issue. If you want to see a hardcore show, you should still go, you know, but I don't know. I get the argument, but I don't know.
When BA played here in February, so we, Steel City handled the Hamilton date of that run. And when they played here, it was a really healthy mix. We were surprised. Like, it was a really healthy mix of old heads and young heads. But yeah, you're right. Like, the all ages thing, like, even up here, it's still pretty scarce. Like, a lot of people are finding spots now that'll let us do all ages. Hamilton, we have a couple of venues. But because we've been booking shows, we have, you know, that relationship with them where it's like, hey, just let us try. Like, let us try and do an all ages show. You know, like we'll be good kind of thing. And we've been able to have a few all ages shows, so they've been pretty well. And the all ages shows, I mean, like, you just got to think back to when you were a 15, 16 year old kid and you want to go to shows, but you can't go to shows because they're all 19 plus. So up around here, it's been getting better. It's still not, you know, there's still no definitive real all ages clubs, but they're definitely getting there. Like, there's venues that are allowing all ages shows, like for hardcore shows and stuff. So it's been pretty cool for that. But yeah, no, I totally get what you mean. It's been, it's very interesting. And I mean, I can talk about our local scene up here all day. There's so many bands that, like, anytime I get asked about it, I always forget a good probably 20 bands that I forget to mention because I'm like, oh, holy shit. There's just, yeah. There is many. The community coming out of COVID has been crazy up here. Like, and it's all people that have either met each other, like, through coming back from COVID at shows, or, you know, bands are forming out of other bands that were already started. Like, I mean, I guess realistically, even a band like Street Justice, like my brother who plays in Rust, he plays in Street Justice. Street Justice kind of came out of another band called Powerbomb that Darren the drummer was in. He wanted to do a vegan straight edge thing. Like, there's been all of these, like, subsidiary bands popping out of bands that were kind of around before the pandemic. And it's been, yeah, it's been so sick.
Yeah, like obviously you've been seeing me trying to do my best to document it this year, seeing how many releases have been coming out and finding, like, the best possible ones. It's hard to keep track. Like, it's like, you know, but
this year has been absolutely cranked for music. Like, even us, like, we were debating. We were like, do we drop? Like, we weren't even going to drop a new single this year because we were like, so many people. And even when we did drop it, we were planning around other bands that we knew that were dropping, you know, either the week before or the week after or whatever. Cause like we were like, all right, we know we're going to drop a single. Who's dropping music? So we started asking, like, everybody that we knew, are you guys dropping anything? Is anybody dropping anything? Do you guys know if anybody's dropping something? Cause we didn't want to drop, you know what I mean? It's almost like normally you can drop something and, like, maybe you'll share a release date with, you know, a band here or there. But I mean, late this year, it's been like, if you're dropping something, there's like 4, 5, 6, 10 other bands that, like, you got to check out the same day. There's been so much like the outflux of music has just been outrageous.
Yeah, it's insane. But I think that, I don't know, you tell me, because you play in a band, but I was actually thinking about this, like reflecting on listening to so many releases this year, and I don't play in a band. But I was thinking about, like, if I was in a band right now, my, like, as being 42, I'm used to bands releasing an LP or an EP, like, not these singles that they're doing now, you know what I mean? But this year I did get used to that. And now I think that with so much music coming out, if you're in a band and you don't release any music for like 18 months, like, yeah, you're playing shows, but, like, are people going to, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you have to have new music coming out all the time just to keep up with all the other bands now. Like, does that make sense?
That's something that we've actually noticed a lot of is, like, you have to keep creating and you have to keep putting out some form of content. It's almost like it's not really like a fight to stay relevant, but it's almost like you have to compete a little bit to stay relevant because there's so many new bands popping up and so many bands are putting out music that now, like, you'll get a band, they'll form. 2 weeks later, they have a 3-song out. What the fuck? Where did this come? Whereas, like, you know, a band like ours, when we started, it was like we started, got the songs done, dropped a single, you know, a little bit later, played a show, kind of got the name out a little bit, then dropped an EP. Like, there was like an old traditional way of doing things. And now it's like, if you don't drop at least one thing a year, or if you're not doing something super dope within 6 months, like, I don't know if you ever run the risk. Cause I think music, like, band, like, it just makes it a lot less accessible to people that are trying to find it. So you won't, you know, it's kind of like finding a needle in a haystack sometimes where there's so many good bands around you that if you're not paying attention, and it's impossible to pay attention to everything. I'm finding releases now that came out 6 months ago, and not because I wasn't paying attention, it's because it came out when, you know, a bunch of other things came out that I was into, and I just, you know, now it's like, oh, okay, now I'm playing catch up and finding all these bands. And I think that's it's amazing, but it's also in a way it's kind of crazy at the same time, because being in bands, if you don't kind of keep your own train moving, like, there's a very good chance that it, yeah. You know, I don't think anybody's like losing momentum over it, but it is definitely key, yeah, to keep your momentum up if you're playing in bands.
I mean, you have to wonder how long this can last too. Like, I mean, I figured Mike Jeffers from Buffalo. I don't know if you know him at all. Oh yeah, you know him. He plays in Juggernaut. We talked about this like before. I think either when COVID first ended or before it even ended, we were like, when shows pop off and there's going to be a million shows, like, how long will that be sustainable for? Which it's been fine so far, but we were both probably, that's not going to last forever. And now it's like, how long can there be like 1,000 hardcore releases per year or whatever for? Like, that's insane. Like, how is that sustainable, you know?
And even the shows, like, even up here, like, I think coming out of COVID, the novelty of being at shows again was like, you know, shows were at an all-time high, and all, you know, like, you were having, like, the first Steel City show that we threw last year in October, we threw it at a little skate club, a little skate park, like an indoor skate park, and not a very big place, cap maybe 150. And it was all, aside from one band, it was all local bands. So it was Rust, Gavel, Die Alone. We brought Shut Away from Montreal, because we had played, Gavel and Rust had played Montreal the day before with Shut Away. So we brought them here the day after to play this one. And then we had Spirit of Vengeance, a band called Entice, and another band called Just Right. And they all, those three bands played their first shows that night. So it was like, here's bands that you know, here's a band from Montreal, here's three brand new bands playing their first shows, and that was kind of the novelty of the show. But in this 150 room cap, we ended up having 300 people in that room. It was absolutely fucking cranked, and it'll never happen again. Like, when that, like, after that show, we were all, like, everybody was like, that was the sickest thing ever. It will never happen again. And it hasn't. Shows have been pretty healthy for the most part, but now, like, you know, around the local scene, like, it's the same thing as releases. Now there's too many bands, too many shows, so you're constantly every weekend, like, even like this weekend here, like, even though I won't be joining everybody in the States, I think last I counted there was four different shows happening. But Friday there's, you know, another three shows happening Saturday, so you have to pick. Like, okay, well, which one do I want to go to now? So attendance is now starting to suffer at certain shows that you would normally think would thrive, because now it's like, well, shit. Like, people have to pick and choose now, which is kind of, I mean, in a way, it's almost like a good spot to be in. But at the same time, you know, the devil's advocate side to that is, it's not that great, and it can't be that sustainable, because now the shows are actually starting to suffer because of it. So if you're not like top of your A game, where you pull in your city, your show might not do as well as the show that's happening, you know, a couple cities over with, you know, a couple more banging bands.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I'm curious to see if we're going to, how many releases. There's no way there can be more next year than there was this year. That was just I can't imagine.
I kind of figured that out this year, though, watching everybody drop music. Like, we dropped World Upside Down a year ago, and we were like, do we really want to drop a new EP, like, this year? And then we were watching how much music was coming out, and we were like, nah, we're going to let them get their fix out, and then we'll wait till next year. Hopefully next year it'll be, you know, a little bit more slower in terms of releases, because pretty much almost every band put out music this year.
Yeah, I think Terror is, like, the only big band I can think of. I think Terror is pretty much the only big one I can think of that didn't put anything out this year.
Yeah,
They did one last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, yeah, everybody, like, Painted Truth came out this year. Never Any Game dropped out this year. Tsunami dropped this year. Like, pretty much every band that I could think of that was due for a record put it out this year.
Yeah, it's a pretty good year for music. All right. I think I start to hear my kids yelling downstairs a little bit. So Maybe we'll get you on for a part two eventually and talk more Canadian hardcore, because actually I didn't mention that in the intro, but this is our first like official like current Canadian hardcore interview, because we did one. Well, I did one before Greg and I joined onto the podcast together with an old Ottawa band, Miles Between Us. I don't know if you're familiar with them at all. I had put their record out years ago, so it was like a retrospective like reunion type thing, just interview. But that's like the only Canadian one we've ever done. So this is like the first like current Canada interview. So maybe we'll do another one eventually. And, you know, obviously the invite's open to the Shutaway guys to do an interview with them next year too. I'm sure if they check this out, they'd be down for that. But yeah, anything we missed or any shout outs you want to do or anything? Or
I just want to shout out Ontario Hardcore. That way I don't have to shout out every band individually. Shout out Ontario Hardcore, shout out Montreal Hardcore, shout out Detroit Hardcore, shout out Buffalo Hardcore, shout out Rochester Hardcore, shout out Hardcore.
Shout out Hardcore. See everyone Sunday.
The Hardcore Archive Podcast is Josh Lyons and Greg Benoit with creative support from Rob Antonucci.
This podcast is a product of the Rochester Hardcore community. Theme song provided by Stand Fast.
Visit Hardcore Archive Podcast on Linktree to listen to past episodes.
Follow Hardcore Archive Podcast and Enterprise Hardcore Podcast on Instagram for updates.
If you have an idea for an episode or would like to have your band's music featured during the closing credits, please contact us at hardcorearchivepodcast@gmail.com.
Face down the dead flow. Fate of a turncoat.